Good morning. The time is 9:06. Currently a pleasant start here in north central Wisconsin at our Bull Falls studios in downtown Wausau. Fair skies and 43 degrees is the temperature. I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Well, for today, looking like a very pleasant day, but boy, oh boy, it looks like we are going to be in for some significant rainfall as we get into late tonight, into tomorrow, and even into early Saturday. To get all the details on what to expect with the rain that's coming, we're joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vuchiski. And Jennifer, good morning. Jennifer?
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Good morning. As I was saying, it's a case of where today looks very pleasant. I mean, right now, looking outside our windows here at the studio, it's a very pleasant start. But boy, we're going to get quite a drencher in once it gets going late tonight, aren't we?
We are, yeah. So definitely a day to take advantage of today. We're looking at partial sunshine developing here for the day with a high getting up around about the mid-50s. We should be around about the upper 50s, so just slightly below average for this time of the year. A little on the windy side, and then for tonight, we'll have a chance for some rain showers. Our best chances will be primarily in the overnight hours, so pretty windy with overnight lows around about 44. For your day on Friday, temperature-wise, it's not going to move around too much compared to the overnight lows. We're looking at a high only getting up around about 47 degrees tomorrow. Cloudy skies, a good chance for periods of rain showers here for tomorrow, and still really, really windy. Saturday, a chance for rain to start off the weekend. It's slightly warmer with a high around about 52. Dry end to the weekend here on Sunday. Partial sunshine develops, high around about 53 degrees. Monday, looks like cloudy skies. A similar day overall. High gets up around about 50.
When you look at the rain, I've been seeing numbers from 1 to 2 inches tomorrow. Does that sound reasonable?
It does, yeah. So in the overnight hours tonight, about a tenth to a quarter of an inch, and then during the daytime tomorrow, yeah, about 1 to 2 inches possible.
And you also added that wind, and that's going to make it even hairy, even for driving, when that, you know, be blowing rain, it'll be wet, and it's not going to be easy out there, is it?
It's really not, yeah. I mean, we're looking at winds gusting as high as about 40 miles per hour tomorrow, so it's really going to be kind of a difficult day.
Okay, well, we'll be trying to get ready for that. We'll get more information on it tomorrow when we talk. Have yourself a great Thursday, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
Thanks so much, you do.
That is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vuchiski from weatherology.com. Again, she joins us from the Weatherology Weather Center each and every weekday morning at 9:06 to give us the latest information. And again, as we go into the weekend, it's going to be a wet start. And as she said, at least on Sunday, if you have some outdoor activities planned, that should work out pretty well. Currently, again, at our studios on the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street in downtown Wausau, fair skies. Bit of a chilly start here this morning. Temperature stands at 43 degrees. Winds are out of the northeast at 8 miles per hour, so that does mean there is a wind chill. Wind chill factor right now of 38. The dew point is 37 degrees, relative humidity of 80%. The barometer at 29.98 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. I am Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. On the other side of the glass is my producer this morning, Ian Welsh. And Ian, again, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
I know you're involved right now in a play. It's coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
Yes, I am. So next week, a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Wausau Elks Lodge, we will have the River and Woods Theater's production of Harsenic and Old Lace. It's a black comedy. It's a lot of humor and a lot of heart and just a lot of fun. It's a really great show.
Terrific. Again, that'll be coming up starting a week from now, next weekend, again at the Elks Lodge. I can't remember what they...
I think they call it both. Okay. I've heard people call it the Elks Lodge. I've heard it called the Elks A club. I guess it could be either one.
And your director is Terry Riska, correct?
Yes, he is.
And Terry's going to actually come on this program next Wednesday, right before you guys open. Going to talk a bit about the show, talk about, again, the information on how you can be involved in it. If you want to come out and see it, see some great entertainment. Also, just a classic play. Arsenic and Old Lace, of course, was also a very popular movie, but it's also been an incredibly successful stage show for many years. And once again, what is your role in the play?
I am playing a Dr. Einstein.
Yeah. Is it a lot of fun compared to other roles you've played?
Oh, absolutely, especially since I get to do a German accent.
Oh, very, very good. So absolutely. So we'll learn more about the play coming up next Wednesday when Terry Riska is coming. And also, as we look forward to next week, make sure you tune in on Monday, because we'll be talking to the mayor of Wausau. Katie Rosenberg will make her monthly appearance. She'll join us for the second hour of the program. Plenty to talk about. We had new information. An extension was given to the T. Wall Enterprises Group. Terrence Wall for the foundry on 3rd. Got the extension until June 1st of next year. We'll talk about that, talk about other issues. It's almost budget time. The budget is being worked on for the city of Wausau. So, again, lots to talk about with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. So mark your calendar. Join us on Monday of next week in the second hour of the program. So we'll look forward to that. The time is 9:13. We're going to come back and hear a conversation with the head football coach of Wausau West, Matt Johnson, a guy I get to talk to quite a bit. But very big game tomorrow for the Warriors. They're getting set for the playoffs, but they have DC Everest first. We'll talk about that game and more with Matt Johnson coming up after the break. Time is almost 9:13. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 9:15, and again, tonight we have high school football, not scheduled originally, but last night found out the Duma Catholic Cardinals game against Tri-County has been moved up, so we will have live coverage from Plainfield tonight. Newman at Tri-County High School, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And then tomorrow, it will be Wausau West at DC Everest, live starting at 6:35 for the pregame show. Also here on Bull Falls Radio, online, on the app. You know the drill. And plus, again, on the Sports 2 stream tomorrow night, starting at 5:35, a little bit earlier. The game's been moved up. Edgar at Marathon, a Sports 2 stream at BullFallsRadio.com and the Civic Media app, and on tape delay following the West Everest game here on Bull Falls Radio. So again, a busy week number 9 of the high school football season. And as I said, that Everest game against Wausau West, the Warriors 7-1 overall, 5-1 in the conference. Everest is 6-2 overall, 4-2 in the VFA. Significant playoff seeding implications. The playoff seeds and the playoff brackets will be announced on Saturday. And last night on the Big High School Sports Show, myself and former West head football coach Jason Foster had a chance to talk to the current head coach of the Wausau West Warriors, Matt Johnson, about the season, about the big game coming up, about the upcoming playoffs and more. So here's the conversation we had with head coach Matt Johnson.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And again, 7-1 this season, 5-1 in the conference. Before we go into specifics, obviously you had high expectations coming in. How has the season gone from the point you started practice back around August the 1st up to this point? Has the season gone the way that you expected?
In terms of wins and losses, I never know how it's going to go. We thought we had a good team coming in. We thought we had a lot of talent. Were we expecting to be this record? I don't know. We expected the kids to work hard. And we expected to have a fun time with this group because it's a great group of guys. And from that standpoint, it has been a really good year. They're fun to be with at practice. I don't think anybody ever walks out there dragging their feet going, I don't want to be here. And that's kind of one of our goals in our program is we want our kids to enjoy their time out there. They want them to, when they're done at 3 o'clock, it should be something they look forward to. Not, gosh, I wish I could go home today. Right. So has it gone how we've hoped? Yeah, it has, because it's been fun and the kids have enjoyed it, I think.
Yeah, so full disclosure to everyone out there listening, if anybody who doesn't know, that I am also the athletic director at Wausau West in addition to being former head coach. I want to make sure everyone knows I'm not going to throw any softball questions out here tonight, Coach Johnson. Just to piggyback off what Chad said, like what makes it a special group? Like obviously I know you guys do a ton of stuff together outside of football, whether it's goofy fundraising stuff for the Booster Club or just extra social type activities, either as a whole group or in small groups. What makes this a special group?
I think it's a unique group of personalities. There's a lot of it. There's interesting personalities. There's fun personalities. There's hardworking kids. There's multi-sport athletes. So you get to have those conversations about, you know, how'd your basketball game go? Or, you know, what are you doing? What are you expected to do? How's baseball going? We got guys that love baseball. We got guys that wrestle. We got all these different groups. We got hockey players in there. So I think just all of those different experiences blending together and all those personalities, and we've got coaches with big personalities as well. And I just think it's, you know, you mix all those together and it just makes for interesting conversation and guys that want to spend a lot of time together.
How has the mentality of the program changed in recent years? Because now the last 3 years have been all really solid seasons for your team, able to share the conference championship the previous 2 years. Unfortunately, one stubbed toe looks like it's going to kind of cost you this year, but still an outstanding season with only one loss up to this point. How has the mentality of your group changed? Because when you get as old as I am, or maybe not quite as old as you guys are, but I mean, I'm a little bit older, I have all this history involved in it. For these guys, they've been around a lot of winning. Do you get that sense within the program that that mentality has changed the last few years?
Yeah, I've been waiting for this question all day because I think the biggest change was the coaching change. I'm just kidding. I've been waiting for that one. Listen, I think, you know, it's not like we hadn't had success at Wausau West in prior. Coach Grunty did a lot of good things on back. We had success. Not continued success, and we had, you know, we probably had more losing seasons than winning seasons. But I, you know, as I look back and see kind of what changes, we went with some sophomores back when Colton Garrick, Jack Behrens, Joe Behrens, those guys were sophomores. We went through our lumps. We had a hard time. Those guys made a commitment in the weight room. They were that kind of group. They were kind of that group of leaders that said, this is how you get it done. Like, we've got to be in the weight room. We've got to get in there. And then all of a sudden that next year we had that, you know, a couple wins and could have gone the other way a few times too as those guys were juniors. And then when they were seniors, they were mature, physical, good football players and a bunch of them with a bunch of varsity experience. And then all of a sudden they started to win some games, and that belief that they could win, I think, was the big change in the program. They expected to win when they took the field instead of hoping to win. And I think that's a really huge difference in what we're doing now. I think our kids take the field expecting to win, not in an arrogant way, not in a cocky way, but we want to be on the field and we can play with anybody and we expect to beat them. And that, you know, when you're hoping and wishing, all right, it ain't the same as believing. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, kind of jumping on board with that tradition question, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the tradition in you taking the job. I graduated from Wausau West in 1991, and my freshman, sophomore, and junior year at Wausau West, the head football coach was Tom Johnson,
I know that guy.
Yeah, you know that guy. That's your dad. So what did it mean to become the head coach? Obviously, you'd been in the program a long time. It wasn't like you just came to Wausau West. You've been a huge part of what's happened there for 10-plus years. But what did it mean for you? What did it mean for your dad? What are some of the conversations you have? I've had the luxury of standing next to your dad on the sideline on many Friday nights and listening to him to critique your performance as a coach and the team. So what's that like, kind of being part of the family tradition and the Wausau West football tradition?
Yeah, I've been part of the program like all the way back then when my dad was involved, obviously, as just a water boy and on the sidelines and as the son of a coach and, you know, watching my mom enjoy it sometimes and not enjoy it other times and have some tough moments and stuff. So I got to see all of that. So as I'm taking the job, it's certainly a special to, you know, to do the job that your dad did and have those conversations. And it's a different era. We definitely talk about that. You know, it was one thing back in the 80s when he was doing it versus what we're doing now. But to see his excitement and my mom's excitement as well on the sidelines and traveling to Hortonville. And I think my dad gets a little more worked up with the officials than I even do on the sideline. But those are just great conversations. I love the times where we can just go sit down and, you know, I drop the kids off at the house or bring my kids over to visit them. And, you know, we get in some pretty good conversations about football and about he really likes to I mean, he's like me. He's in it for the kids. He likes to see the kids succeed. He loves talking about them. So it's just really cool conversations that we get to have. And, you know, I've heard for years the stuff about the players that impacted him that he's had over the years, the Jason Fosters and everybody else that he's had over the years. But so it's fun to talk about these kids that have that impact on me as well. And I think that's the biggest connection that we have in it.
Again, we're talking to Matt Johnson, head football coach at Wausau West High School here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about the season up to this point. You started off with four wins in a row. I'm going to put in halves here, 4 weeks and then 4 weeks, because I think it's been interesting that the first 4 weeks, you came out, played some good football. Yeah, won fairly easily, maybe not as consistent week in and week out. Then the last four games, you had, I thought, an outstanding performance against Marshfield, probably as good of a road trip as we've seen in a long time. You had a rough game against Stevens Point. And then last week, a great win in a tough environment on homecoming with a big crowd at Hortonville. Could you talk a little bit about the flow of this season? Because it feels like you've been challenged quite a bit the last 4 weeks after maybe it was a little bit of an easier go of it in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever used the word easy or
that's a media thing.
Yeah, exactly. So we, you know, we struggled a little bit getting started against Superior up there, and Rapids gave us fits early. So it didn't come easy for us. You know, we stuck that Tapir game in there and had just about a, you know, I don't want to say perfect or anything, but we had a darn near perfect performance, especially in that first half. And we've put a couple of those together. So, you know, we're just trying to work on being consistent week in and week out. And obviously the turnover bug hit us against Spash. And, you know, if we could, we'd like to go back and have that one again. But to our kids' credit, you know, you went from a great performance in the first half and all the game against Marshfield to that, to then bouncing back and having a nice week the next week to the Appleton West. And then I think when we finally got to Hortonville, we kind of talked with the kids about, all right, this is playoff football now. Like, you blew some teams out, you lost, you did some dumb things, you had some good moments, you had some good luck. Are you willing to get into those games and have a fight? And Hortonville gave us a fight. They are a really good football team, really physical football team. And so I was just really proud of our kids as we turn the corner, as we move into this second half, as you say, and into the playoffs. You know, are we ready to fight and do what it takes to win playoff games? And we answered at least for a week. We'll try it again this week.
Yeah, and I think one of the added challenges that you guys have dealt with the last couple of weeks is some injuries. Yeah. Obviously, lost some guys, and we'll see moving forward who we get back, who we don't, that sort of thing. But it's also then gives other guys the opportunities and step up. What has that process been like from a coaching and game planning standpoint, losing your 26 power guy?
Yeah.
That's made all of our lives pretty easy for a long time. So when you have that and then have to use other guys and maybe do some things differently, what's that process been like, and what's been the reward of it?
Yeah, losing our 26 power guys there with Bryce coming down and you know, taking care of the edge for us, and then Ray running it. So it's been hard, you know, losing those two, and Levi Pernsteiner as well, kind of who's the, you know, the leader on our defense, kind of that quarterback back there taking the signals. Those three are obviously huge parts of what we do. Not that you want to lose anyone ever at any time, but those probably were some of them that you'd write down and be like, well, we're going to struggle if we don't. But, you know, credit to the kids like Jackson Albee, Jackson Ago, Jaden Durr, Oliver Wilfley. These are the guys that we've kind of asked to step up and take those spots. And I don't want to say we didn't miss a beat, but they fought. They fought the way we wanted to. And, you know, you said, what's it like in those situations? Well, it's hard because most of those guys were playing a different position, or they were already helping us, and then you've got to move them somewhere else, and you got to move a new guy into this one. Against Hortonville, we had some injuries in that game. We lost Jackson for a while then to some cramping in the second half. So we were, you know, we didn't have another guy ready to go at that next position. So it's hard. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of coaching. But that's the fun stuff. You're in the huddle reminding kids what their assignments are and what they're doing. And then when they go out there and do it to the level that we did, it's just really fun. It's cool watching those guys get it, and just cool watching them take advantage of their opportunities.
Wausau West Warrior High School head football coach Matt Johnson. We will have more with the coach coming up here in just a few moments. Again, Wausau West 7-1 on the season, 5-1 in the Valley Football Association, taking on DC Everest. The Evergreens are also having a terrific season. They are 6-2 overall. They are 4-2 in the conference. Both these teams have already clinched playoff berths, but in all likelihood, the winner will Well, again, it's hard to say, but if you want to get a home game in the first round of the playoffs, it will be a very important game for both sides tomorrow night. And again, it's expected to be a wet one and a windy one, so the elements will be a factor. We're going to talk to Coach Matt Johnson about the game as we continue the conversation with the Wausau West head coach after we take a break for the news. Again, we'll have CBS News at the bottom of the hour. We'll have a Civic Media News update as well, and then we'll come back with more with Matt Johnson, Wausau West High School head football coach, coming up as we continue here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We are continuing to talk to the head football coach of Wausau West High School, Matt Johnson. Warriors 7-1 on the season, heading into a game tomorrow night live right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 at 6-2 DC Everest. Again, the coach was with us last evening. I was joined by former Wausau West football coach Jason Foster on the Big High School Sports Show, and we continue our discussion with the Warrior head coach.
I was driving home from Hortonville after the game last week, and I think that was kind of what struck me was, one, it was a great high school football game, both ways, clean. My blood pressure went up a little bit with your dad's at the end with some of that last drive and the calls, whatever.
But
to think that football is all about the memories we make and our teammates and the games and all that, and to know that the guys we kind of listed and talked about earlier in the game with Jackson and Jaden and Jack and some of these Jackson, Albie as well, like those guys now have created their own memories that maybe wouldn't have happened if you still had Ray and were feeding, had the opportunity to feed him, or if Bryce was still, and God, we of course want those guys back, but what a neat opportunity for those other guys to create some lifelong memories and know that they played a big role in that victory Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. When you have a good football team, you got some good football players that don't play as much as you'd want them to, and that's tough on those kids. And then when they get those opportunities and they prove that, like you said, you can, you know, they can go back and say, see, I should have been playing there all along or whatever. No, but those kids have had an awesome attitude all year long and helped us on scout. And, you know, we had to move Jackson Albie down to a different position already to get him on the field because we didn't get him out there early enough. And then obviously now he's sliding down to tight end too. So he's a guy that's, you know, him and those other guys, but Jackson especially is a guy that said, I'll do whatever as long as I can stay on the field, coach. That's what I want to play. So those are cool.
One more.
It's almost like you never talked to this guy. I tell you.
When you look at that game, and one of the biggest plays to me, I mean, offense, defense, we always talk about that and the big plays and all that. The punt that Jackson had in the second half, that I don't know what it, and I'm going to say 60, it probably wasn't that far, but it felt like it.
Yeah, I think it was.
It completely flipped the field at a time when we really needed them to have to work to score, and it was just a big turning point. So you throw the ball, you tackle, you do all those things, but a punt played a really big role in that game.
Especially coming after they had their punt that landed in, somehow stopped inside the 1 yard line too. There was so we needed our own there. So thanks, Jax.
And I gotta mention as well, I mean, I love watching Carter Amerson because he's such a good receiver. And again, I think I've said this to you, maybe to others. You don't see how good he is by the numbers because, you know, obviously you're a good running team. And sometimes you got to run the ball when you run it well. I mean, it's obvious. But, boy, he adjusts to the ball. He makes a catch. I remember in Superior on the far sideline was fantastic. He was a great guest for us as well. But, boy, what a terrific option as well when you do need to throw the football. And what a great option for a first-year starting quarterback as well.
Yeah, for sure. Carter is special on both sides of the ball. But yeah. I think, you know, I'd be
seven picks now, right?
Exactly. I'd be remiss remiss not to say, too, you mentioned he doesn't get as many opportunities as he wants, but Carter's an unselfish guy. Right. He takes as much pride in the improvement he's had blocking. He had a crack block on Friday night where he knocked a kid down, got up, knocked another one down, and I think Carter talks about that one as much as any catch that he had. So, yeah, he wants the ball more for sure, but we're going to do what it takes to win games, and we're going to try to get it to him when we can. But Carter's an unbelievable kid and very unselfish, and I think his best football is still ahead of him when he gets to the next level.
What a defense as well. I mean, I don't remember a defense that has your defensive tackles are almost like the spark plugs. I mean, you don't see that very often. Usually they're doing the dirty work in order to clean it, and then let your linebackers rack up a lot of tackles. Yeah. But all levels of your defense have been good. You mentioned Carter. He's had a great season in terms of picks. But your defensive tackles, I mean, it's really something to see those two that can just blow up plays so very quickly.
Yeah, those those two are fun. Those two are interesting. They're definitely kind of the attitude of our defense or the character of our defense with DeAndre and Landon up front. But yeah, they make plays. They're hard for anybody to block. They're hard to block individually. They're hard to block one-on-one and hard for teams to run the football. And it starts there. And you know, with Bryce and Will Mitchell on the outside of that D-line too. So that whole D-line and now Tegan stepping in there with Bryce being out as well. So I think it starts all up front with those two, but with those four in general. And then, yeah, guys on the back end are just really solid. We have, you know, we have other good cover guys. Brett Butella, returning first team all conference kid. Marcus McDonald has come in there and stepped up. And JJ kind of running the show there on the back end a little bit. So, yeah, we're pretty good at all levels and, you know, obviously trying to get better every day and trying to figure out what we can do to stop DC Everest this week.
Yeah, 1 point last week. What is Landon weigh? What is, was he like?
I think he's about 305, 310 right now.
Yeah, at one point I looked and his helmet was on the ground and his feet were 5 feet, 10 inches up in the air like he was breakdancing. I would look at him like, what is going on out there right now?
Yeah, I have a screenshot of that one on my phone from when I was watching film and saw Landon upside down. Landon's got a pretty patented move where he rolls through if he jumps and he rolls through. So we've seen that a time or two and everybody kind of, he's a very, very freakishly athletic kid for a 300-pounder, can get down in the splits. He's a fun guy. He's a fun kid that's been dialed in like we've hoped he would be this year. So you get moments like that from him.
And following up on the defense, last week, obviously, they had a great game. We've talked about some individuals. But we did today, we had to submit to the WIAA. Part of the playoff stuff is how many points you've given up in conference games in the first half. And in through six games, you guys have given up 21 points. So 3.5 points a game. Even when you look at the ridiculousness of the Spash game and all the turnovers, and to think we gave up 7 points.
One of those touchdowns was a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, and gave up the 7 points in the first half of that one. I mean, to talk just overall with the defense, what's gone into this and from a game planning and a coaching, and just it's just been an incredible, obviously, as a defensive guy, defensive coaches and players never get enough credit. But talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, our defensive staff works very, very hard. I think we're averaging 3.5 points per first half, even if you go into the non-conference games. And like Chad said, one of them was a defensive touchdown that the offense gave to them. So if you go into halftime, whether your offense has gotten going or not, and your defense has been able to hold them to whatever under 7 points every single game this year, you definitely have some confidence that you have a chance in the second half. And you know, some of those have been paired with some good offensive performances, but to have that consistency and that peace of mind as an offensive coach and as offensive players that, hey, you know, if we make a couple mistakes and if we fight through some adversity, the other side of the ball's got your back and you can pretty much count on it week in and week out. That really makes things, keeps you calm and able to just make the adjustments that you need to and hopefully get yourselves going a little bit.
Again, talking to Matt Johnson, head football coach at Wausau West. Well, Friday night, big one. It's always, every game's a big one, but this is really a cool game because West and Everest, every year it seems like it has some significance one way or the other. And for this season, boy, both teams having really good seasons. So you're 7-1, 5-1, they're 6-2, 4-2. And those two losses, they had the football in the opponent's territory late in both those games, having chances to win. Obviously, going over there Friday night with the added issues of maybe the elements being involved as well. What are you expecting against Everest on Friday?
I'm expecting what we had this past Friday, really, against Hortonville. Again, they have Everest has a very good defense, putting up very good numbers back there. They can really step back and chuck the ball. We're, you know, really impressed with their quarterback, Logan, and their target, who is actually the cousin of Marcus McDonald Pearson. So had a lot of good talks about that this week. But they've got good football players sprinkled all across that team. And, you know, last year, week nine, we kind of took care of business against them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, we just keep telling our kids, like, this is not that. This is not that. This is a different Everest. This is the Everest that we expected then and that we expect all the time. They're a heck of a football team. They're really well coached, so we expect, you know, their game with Hortonville went right down to the wire, like you mentioned, Chad. It was the same type of game. Fortunately, we won by one score. They lost by a couple points with a chance to tie it. So we don't expect anything less than that. The elements should be make things interesting, mm-hmm. and I want to say make things fun, but I'm not sure I'm really being honest with the fun thing. It's going to make me wet for sure, if nothing else. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. West Everest is a pretty special matchup. Especially in the last couple of years since we've won a few of them. So,
yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to jump on with that one, too, is you've played at Wausau West. Your dad was involved back in the day. And shoot, when I played however many years before that, before you did, they weren't really games. Like it was, I think my senior year, we felt really good about how we were coming into the season. We went over there and lost 39-0. could have been worse, like most games like that. But so what has the transition, what has brought us to this point? Like what to, from Everest dominance and West kind of maybe not being there to these games are battles for the last 12 years since I've been back in town, other than last year, there really hasn't been. And it makes me a little nervous because I would imagine they've talked a lot about this game for the last 364 days.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a rivalry game because we're close in proximity for sure. But until we started beating them, until we started having a chance every time we went out there, mm-hmm. it wasn't a real rivalry. I mean, it was in proximity, but they dominated us. So as soon as we kind of broke through there, we made some improvements. You know, we've beaten them, like I said, the last couple of years. I think now it really feels like a rivalry. Now we got them, and now, you know, they're kind of digging in. Where instead of us just trying to climb that hill, now it's a battle, and both of us believe that we're going to come out and win on Friday night, and that makes for a pretty special Friday night and a pretty special high school football game.
And then once the clock gets to zeros on Friday night, you turn your attention to the postseason. I know you're focused completely right now on Everest, but at the same time, in the steps forward for this program, last season you got that good win against Rapids in level one and then went over to Bayport. Do you feel like this group has that potential to take the experiences maybe of last season, a couple of playoff games against really good competition, win one, then came up short in one, to be able to be ready to give their best coming up in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think experience is something that can't be replicated. And we've been there, and we just, you know, we've been talking all year. We didn't necessarily set the goal to win conference championship. We didn't necessarily set a goal. You know, our goal is to win, go 1-0 every week. But always in the back of our mind, it is how can we get better to win playoff football games? And playoff football teams, don't make dumb mistakes, right? They come ready to play every night. You don't have to, you know, something good to happen before you're playing to your best ability. And you're just willing to fight longer than the other guy. And I think, you know, I don't know if those are the keys to winning games, and certainly having good players helps that too, and we've got those.
Right.
But yeah, I think these kids believe that they can go into the playoffs and make some noise, and that's the goal, and that's what we're going to keep working towards this week.
Obviously, when you – I know that you're 100% dialed into DC Everest this week, but I also know who you are, and I know that you know what the playoff field is likely going to be and what that region. So I'm not going to ask you where you think you're going to end up, because obviously there's a lot of football to play in 2 days before you get to that point. But what does it mean? Because that grouping is going to be the probably some teams that we will face next year, being in the new football realigned conferences, as well as some familiar foes from the eastern half of the state who've kind of shown a lot of dominance in football over the last. So like, what is that opportunity, or how does that drive and motivate you as the head coach, but also the rest of the coaching staff and the team to kind of be able to come out against those teams and maybe prove that this football in this neck of the woods is kind of back on track and heading in the right direction?
Yeah. I think we as all of coaches in Central Wisconsin want to prove that. I know Coach Trelo talks about that a lot as well. We want to work to make this area better and be able to compete with the Fox Cities and then to some extent the Big Rivers and then the teams down in the Milwaukee area where certainly, you know, deserve what they get and all their rankings and their wins because they win it. So, you know, having the opportunity, I mean, you can't prove that unless you have the opportunity. So what does it give us? Hopefully it gives us the opportunity to go over there and just play the best foot. You know, we had that shot with Bayport last year and thought we really competed well with Bayport. Just they're a good football team. You make one or two mistakes and all of a sudden goes from a 7-point game to a 21-point game and you have no time left on the clock and you haven't seen the ball for a month. So it gives us another opportunity. That was it last year, and I thought our kids walked away, you know, from that going, we can play with these guys. We can compete with them. And that guy was good and that guy was awesome. But hey, we're okay too. And then hopefully it just shows, you know, the younger kids in our program too, like, hey, these guys worked this hard and they got this far. We need to take it up a notch. We need to work harder. We need all of us. We need this whole, you know, this whole program to continue to move in that direction. So, yeah, like I said, gives us opportunity. Hopefully we get a good one.
Hey, it's a great time of year. Great game matchup on Friday. And then, of course, great matchups after that. Look forward to seeing you at Everest on Friday and look forward to seeing you in the playoffs. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Good luck Friday night.
Thank you.
And that was Matt Johnson, head football coach of Wausau West High School. Again, the Warriors at DC Everest tomorrow night, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff, live right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We need to take a quick break and then be right back. We'll have our daily history lesson coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51. See, the sun is shining as we look outside through the windows here at our downtown Wausau location on the corner of North 3rd Street and Washington Street. Again, it looks like it'll be a pretty nice Thursday. See some sunny skies, partly sunny, high reaching 54 degrees. But then again, tomorrow, boy, oh boy, starting late tonight, in the overnight hours, the rain will begin. And when all is said and done between early Friday morning and then early Saturday, expect 1 to 2 inches of precipitation, 1 to 2 inches of rain. The good news is it's rain, because if it was colder, you get 1 to 2 inches of rain, that equals a lot of snow. So it's not going to be too long. Hopefully a couple of months, maybe. Well, sometime in November, all of a sudden you start to worry a little bit, but significant rainfall coming up starting late tonight into early Saturday. Again, we will keep you up to speed every hour, multiple times every hour. We bring you the Weather Eye forecast here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. But today is the 12th day of October of 2023. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Back in 1492, Christopher Columbus and his expedition made landfall in the Caribbean, specifically in the Bahamas. The explorer believed he had reached East Asia, so he wasn't quite sure where he was, but Christopher Columbus, he went across the ocean blue and made landfall in the Caribbean on this date, October the 12th of 1492. On this date in 1823, Charles Mackintosh of Scotland sold the first raincoat. Good thing with all the rain coming that we do have raincoats now, but that was in 1823. The first raincoat was sold. On this date in 1901, President Theodore Roosevelt officially renamed the Executive Mansion to the White House. on this date in 1997. Hard to believe. Boy, that's, 26 years ago. I remember this, when singer John Denver was killed at the age of 52 in the crash of his privately built aircraft in Monterey Bay, California. On this date in 2011, a Nigerian Al-Qaeda operative pleaded guilty to trying to bring down a jetliner with a bomb in his underwear minutes before the plane landed in Detroit on Christmas Day 2009. He was later sentenced to life in prison. On this date in 2016, James Charles became the first male face of the makeup label CoverGirl. And on this date, 4 years ago today, in 2019, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya became the first person to run a marathon in under 2 hours, 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds in Vienna, Austria. It was not a race by strict definition, as he used pace setters and pace laser markings on a special course. Some famous people are also celebrating their birthdays today. Sam Moore. Maybe that name doesn't mean anything to you, but if you remember the band Sam and Dave, you remember Sam and Dave? Well, Sam Moore of Sam and Dave turning 88 years old today. TV journalist Chris Wallace. He's worked for NBC. He's worked for Fox, and now he's at CNN. Chris Wallace is 76 years old. Of course, his father, the famous CBS 60 Minutes journalist Mike Wallace. Model Susan Anton is 73 years old today. Actor Hugh Jackman, turning 55. Actor Kirk Cameron, most famous for Growing Pains. He's become a rather far-right political commentator at times as well. Kirk Cameron is 53 years old today. Lara Trump. She is the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump, the wife of Eric Trump. Lara Trump is 41 years old today. Actor Tyler Blackburn of Pretty Little Liars, Roswell, New Mexico, is 37 years old today. Tony Cavallaro, The Righteous Gemstones, he is turning 40 years old today. And actor Josh Hutcherson, most known for The Hunger Games, one of the co-stars of that one, 31 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. It is International Moment of Frustration Scream Day. So if you get that moment of frustration, I don't think you should do it right in the middle of your office, though. But find an area by yourself and give that moment of frustration scream today. It is National Farmers Day. What a special day it is. Of course, farming is such a big part of what we are in Wisconsin. And if you know a farmer, please thank them. It's National Farmers Day. It is Gumbo Day. It is also Pulled Pork Day. It is World Sight Day. And it is World Arthritis Day. And our number for the day, and this number for the day is going to make maybe you feel, it makes me feel old. I'll say that much. Our number for the day is 30. Any idea what 30 is? Well, 30 is the global median age. So the median age globally is 30. Oh, man, I do feel a little bit old right now. So
that will also be my age next April on my birthday. Ah,
so you are the median. You are right there.
Yes, oh, I am.
So you can still feel young because you're still below 30. So don't forget tonight. Again, a change in schedule tonight as the Newman Catholic football team taking on Tri-County. The game will be played in Plainfield. I will have the game for you live right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Don't forget, keep it right here all day and all night long. Coming up next, from 10 until noon, As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mantenier, sub-hosting for Kristen Bry. Hope you tuned in yesterday. Kristen made a guest appearance in the first hour, along with her newborn daughter Frankie. So it was a very special day yesterday, but stick around for As Goes Wisconsin coming up next. From noon until 1, it's Town Call. From 1 until 3, Todd Alba Show. From 3 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. The Devil's Advocates coming in from 4 until 6. And then Maggie Dawn at 6 before I take over with Newman Catholic Football at 6:35. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Have yourselves a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.